Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Our text from Mark chapter 1. You've likely heard the phrase, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Intense competition is intended with those words. But at the root of intense competition is the interest of one's own self. I want to win for me, for my glory, for my honor. The ultimate competition can be seen in life lived without God. The primary tenet of Darwin's evolutionary thought was the survival of the fittest. Only the strong, only the smartest, or the wisest, or the wealthiest will survive. Such thought promotes self-interest and not the care and the concern for others. Though deep down, all people know such care and concern to be true virtue. God created Adam and Eve as good, as holy, as righteous. They were pure, and they were free from sin. Yet they were still creatures. Yes, made in the image of God, but not equal to God. And so the serpent emphasized that truth in his temptation to the woman. He told her that God was holding out on her, that God made Adam and her as lacking beings. She could be even more like God if she ate of the fruit from the forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. So the temptation was laid before Eve to capitalize on her own self-interest. Rather than be concerned for God's word which had been given to her, or for her husband's own future, or for the sake of all of creation, Eve pleased herself, and Adam followed suit. And ever since then, it has only grown worse. Mankind continues to increase in its self-centeredness, turning more and more inward toward the heart of sin. And in so doing, the wickedness of sinful thoughts and words and actions only grow. The turn inward is infinite, like constantly dividing by two to get to the smallest possible number. Production of sin that results, of course, is infinite, like constantly multiplying by two to get to the highest number. It's not hard to recognize this in this world all around us, in the temptations that we face from the devil and in our own sinful nature. Love of money, love of self, love of power, an unlimited number of false gods to serve and to obey rather than the only true God. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. This was the truth as God declared it before the flood. It remains true now. It is no wonder, then, the opposition and the rejection that the Lord Jesus encountered when he came here into the world. For darkness hates the lights. Evil hates what is good. And righteousness and unrighteousness are bitter enemies. But Jesus gave comfort to his blessed disciples when he said to them, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And again, to his disciples, on the same night that he was betrayed, Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Even so, this is why the Lord Jesus has come, to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Through his own persecution and suffering, Jesus Christ purchased and he won the salvation of all the world. Because Jesus was rejected, we are received by God. Because Jesus took on all of our sin, we have the forgiveness of all our sin. And because Jesus was condemned by the Father, we have eternal life and salvation. This good news is what the Lord Jesus came to preach. Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And so Jesus went throughout all of Galilee, preaching the message of repentance and salvation in all of their synagogues. And Jesus spent his time casting out demons and healing the sick. This was the work of God in the flesh, the work of God in the world. For us, he prayed. For us, he taught. For us, his daily works he wrought by words and signs and actions, thus still seeking not himself, but us. Jesus kept working for all people. He took care of the needs of others. He went looking for those to whom he could preach and for those whom he could help and heal. None of it was for himself. Jesus did not come into the world to be served. That would be us. We are filled with that sin in our nature. We want others to take care of us. We even pay them to do so. But not Jesus. He came to serve, to help, to care. And that is who God is. And that is who God always is. He has created us in order to love us, in order to care for us, to serve us. Adam and Eve, they were never put into a position to be free from God. Rather, he provided for them. And he cared for them. And they were to remember that. They were to acknowledge that all throughout their lives. For God would always serve them. And this truth is so contrary to the very way of the world and our own sinful flesh that Jesus spoke this truth time and time again to his own disciples. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. The greatest among you shall be your servant. And if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Each Christian then should be constantly clamoring to be the servant of each other. What a world that would be, where all were seeking to serve each other rather than being served. And what a world that would be if we were turned outward toward others rather than inward toward ourselves. But the brokenness of this sinful world will not allow this within us. But it is exactly who Jesus is and exactly how he was in this world. For Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, of our life, and our salvation. He is the one who endured the cross, despising its shame. But he did it all for the joy that was set before him, to have you be with him forever. And that is why he has come. And this is the power of Christ here in the midst of the broken and sinful world. That gospel message, that message of sacrifice, of selflessness, of mercy, of compassion, it all combats the very selfishness of our sin and the sin of this broken world. All know that vicious cycle of anger and of hatred. An evil deed is done. Another evil deed is done in response. And more is done with each and every volley back and forth. And that spiral downward is devastating. The devil, the world, our sinful nature love it. But the forgiveness of Christ, the true grace of God, breaks that spiral. Jesus has intervened to save the world. Jesus has broken in and he has bound the strong man so as to plunder his goods, to rescue all whom he has redeemed by his holy blood, all those who believe in him. God has always wanted this, to dwell with us. But sin has broken that bond and that relationship. But Jesus has come and he has paid the price for its repair. Jesus has bridged that gap between God and man. Jesus is the one sent by God for the purpose of reconciling all the world unto himself. This is what the Lord Jesus has done for us, so that even though we die, yet shall we live. And when he raises us again to new life, all sin and death will be gone. God will then dwell with us fully and perfectly as he has always desired. You will have no fear in that day of seeing God face to face, for you will indeed see God and live. That is what Christ has accomplished, what he has done, what he has made possible for us all. For in Christ Jesus, God is always seeking not himself, but you. Through the word and holy baptism, he has found you, and he has made you his own forever. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.